Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
This is the Gastroenteritis Blues. My name is Steve Lippman. I am with Dan Volpone. I am not with Emily Anderson, who is still rejoicing from her wedding weekend, but Emily will be back with us this week for Locker Room, and I expect people to tune into that and ask her personal questions.
Absolutely.
Dan, how are you doing? How was your weekend?
It was good. I'm home now, which is nice. Back from Pittsburgh for a little bit, and I saw a Pirates game. I missed the Sixers game last night because I went to my first Pirates game I ever went to, but it was a good time. So pretty good weekend. How about you?
Yeah, not bad. We have been dog sitting Gab's family dog, which has been very
that's
nice.
So fun.
Yeah, that's really fun, and we love dogs, and we're looking forward to getting one someday. And tonight, I think we're gonna order dinner. What's your dinner plan?
So my mom made ham and pineapple stuffing because I was coming home.
Wow. So I had some already. Is that one of your
favorite things? I like it. You know, it's good. But I appreciated her making that. I had some earlier. It was very good. I'll have some more for dinner. Yeah.
What
are you ordering? Pizza?
I don't know. We haven't decided. There is pizza. There's Chinese or Thai. There's sandwiches. What would your favorite of those be?
Either sandwiches or pizza. But I also eat like I'm 10, so.
Yeah, what's your favorite food?
Could be mac and cheese. I don't know. I love a good sandwich, but that's pretty broad. Growing up,
are your parents good cooks?
Yeah, so supposedly my dad's a very good cook, and but everything he makes for me is pretty basic because I don't eat a lot.
Right.
I've gotten better. I'm working on it.
And is it pickiness? Because I can be pretty picky.
Yeah, it's pickiness. I don't eat sauce on pizza. I don't like it. Doesn't
really?
Do it for me.
Only
I eat pizza
white
without
pizza.
Sauce. Well, I could get it with a white sauce. I don't like red sauce at all.
Wow. So marinara sauce,
weird.
Never marinara
no.
sauce.
I mean, I'll eat, if I had it, if it's light, I could eat it. And I prefer it's not on there, but it's not, I would never purposely get it. A lot of times I'll get it by accident. And if it's just a little bit, it's fine. But if it's too much, I'm I don't even want to eat this.
If you were, and we'll talk about the Sixers eventually. If you were at a birthday party, where you're not in charge of ordering anything and they just have a thing, and the thing that they have is cheese pizza, would you find a way to get the sauce off of it?
No, it's when I was younger, I would just not eat the pizza. But
wow.
I didn't even try pizza. I guess I tried it and didn't like it, but I never even tried a white pizza until I was I wasn't that old, but I was maybe 10 or something. So when you're a kid, you go to birthday parties, you're 5, 6, 7, 8, and they have, of course, you go to whatever place that they have the kids party and they have pizza,
right?
Because that's what we have at a kids party, and I would just not eat.
Wow, that's very interesting. The Sixers, the last time we talked was on Thursday. We did a Locker Room, and that was before the game with New Orleans. So since we last talked, they played New Orleans, they lost to New Orleans, And then on Saturday night, they beat Oklahoma City. So we should get into that. The New Orleans game was bad. It was a bad game. I had to watch it on delay. But Zion proved too much for basically anybody on the Sixers to handle. He had a great game. And I don't think anybody on the Sixers played well at all. And that includes Joel, who usually, even when he doesn't have a good game, it's usually a good game for anybody. But I think it was just a plain bad game for him. Steven Adams is not a perfect matchup just because he's one of the only guys in the league that is big and strong in a way that Embiid can't really bully. And he's not super gullible on his pump fakes. And Joel had a good first quarter against him, but then they really couldn't get on top of it. So that was like, I think the worst performance that we've seen from like the full starting five, if not the whole season, then at least in a long time. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a weird one. Like I picked them to lose that game at the beginning of the week. And then on locker room, I changed my mind because guys were out. But I don't know. That's, for some reason, it felt like a losable game. I know there was I'm trying to think of the game recently. Oh, maybe the Nuggets game where the Sixers were basically back from the jump, but Joel didn't play. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, they haven't had games where they were just that thoroughly beaten. It definitely feels worse that Joel only had 14. Mm-hmm. I think that because you expect from him basically 30 at this point.
Right.
But I mean, it's not the end of the world. There's been so few of those. Like, none of my concerns about the Sixers have to do with the fact that, like, sure, they might, I guess they could throw one of these into the playoffs, but other teams, I feel like, have these games even more often than the Sixers. Like, consistency is not really my concern. It happens to everyone.
Yeah, no, I mean, and when you think about that, the fact that we can say it's been so long since we had one of those games is like, if you looked at last year, they had so many of those games where, especially on the road, they're playing a bad team and they just get their asses kicked. So this year, this is like seems like it was just one of those games and you don't have it every night. And I don't really have a problem with it other than it would have been nice to, as they're trying to vie for the first seed, to keep winning. But Brooklyn lost very badly on Saturday night
to the Lakers
with no Anthony Davis and no LeBron. So, and they were at home. They lost by 25 at home to that team, which is just a very...
Yeah, it's surprising because they've also been great against the West all year.
Like, yeah, right.
You know, most every other teams in the East are like better against the East because the East stinks. And the Brooklyn's like 19-11 against the East. And so much better against the West. So I didn't expect them to, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have Harden. Harden's out, I think, for about a week now. But usually a game like that happens to a good team on the road. I feel like it's rare that you sort of lay that kind of stinker at home. I certainly don't think it's very indicative of Brooklyn's long-term anything. Then the Sixers played Oklahoma City, who are very... very eager about their tanking, and the Sixers, I think, was just a lot better than them in every way, and I don't think the game was in doubt. I loved, at least as long as it's not a long-term anything, which I don't think it is, but I loved getting a day off for Danny Green and Tobias. Tobias had missed a couple games because he was part of that health and safety protocols thing when Seth caught COVID. But I don't think that Danny Green had missed a single game before this one. So I'm happy that they got him a day off. And especially, they have a really tough stretch coming up that I just wrote about. They have like a 7-game stretch against all, you know, either good to very good teams that could be very big in terms of this race for the one seed. So I love those guys getting a little break. Joel played well and under control and didn't have to play in the fourth quarter, which is especially what you want on the second night of back-to-back. Furkan had a great game, which he just
on the road.
He'll roll one out every now and then, but usually at home. Yeah. Any other takeaways from this game against OKC?
No. Well, so like I said, I wasn't able to watch it. I just saw some highlights. But road Furkan of last year, it doesn't feel like that player's really around anymore. Not that he's just incredible all the time, but it's not such a stark difference where he's just like, basically, you know, doing nothing on the road. And then the other thing I saw that, like, Ben hit two pretty mini jump shots, which I saw some people were excited about. I kind of don't care. They were like 5-footers, and he's usually like, he'll usually shoot like a runner from there or something, but he shoots, he's fine from that distance. So I don't feel like, you know, it's not like he's adding an area where he, up to the court where he's scoring from. It was basically in the paint, wasn't it?
There was one season, was it like towards the end of a season, where he was taking a million of those. They're all, you know, 2-point jumpers that are like free throw line and in. But he was like very actively taking a lot of those. And a lot of them were sort of gross. A lot of them were like turnaround, like fade away when he didn't necessarily need to. But yeah. I remember looking at those and thinking, you know, it's growth that he's shooting these at all. And hopefully this is like a sign of things to come. This year, I feel like we've seen very, very few of them. He's shot a few threes. You know, I certainly will never object to him taking a jump shot or two, but it's not exactly, you know, like, I'm not super excited about it, but I think that he should take jump shots. That's my official position. I don't expect them at all, but that's how I feel about it. That's weird.
I'm almost like, for years, I was like, you know, Ben, just take them, you know. But I feel like, you know, he's 24 now, almost 25. And I've not just like given up on him. I think everyone would agree they've basically given up. And like, if it happens, it'll be unexpected. It'd be great. But I'm at a point where it's like, I don't want him taking them in the games, honestly. Like, because I watched like Giannis do it, and Giannis gets all this credit from the national media. Oh, like he's working on it. He takes them, you know, if he's open, he's going to take it. And he sucks at them, and they look horrible, and he scores fewer points because he's taking these awful shots, and it's bad for the team. Like, it's such a win if he takes that shot. And that's why, you know, and again, he's around the same age. He's a little older, and these guys aren't 19, and these guys aren't on a team that, like, you know, Ben's rookie season, right? The Sixers, like, went on a huge tear at the end of the season to get the 3 seed, but they weren't really expected to win anything, and they were very much still in a development stage. And they're not anymore. I mean, they're obviously looking for a title right now. I obviously wish Ben could shoot, but I don't really want him to, because I don't think he's very good at it. I know he makes a couple, but he only takes them when he's wide open, and he's still not shooting at a crazy good percentage. I know some people think it looks fine. His jumper still looks a little awkward to me. I feel like we're just so used to all the videos on Twitter of him taking him. And I'm happy he doesn't, if the alternative is, I mean, I guess I would love to have Giannis, but that particular aspect of Giannis's game drives me nuts. I wouldn't want Ben doing that.
I totally get that. And I agree with that. And also the good news is that whether we want him to or not, I think the answer is that he's not going to. So you know, it's sort of hard to say, but I can't help but think when I look at him, when I watch him shoot corner threes, that I just feel like he could shoot them at a fine percentage.
Uncovered. Yeah, he probably could.
He probably could. He's not going to. This is like sort of a fantasy land conversation.
Right.
Especially as, you know, we talked about this last week, but like Daryl has looked at bringing in point guards to this team. And in that case, you really need a more sort of versatility out of Simmons' offense. This actually will just lead us into what Joel said after the game. After the game against Oklahoma City, Joel was talking about Simmons, and he was asked whether or not he wants Simmons to look for his scoring more. This is from Derek Bodner. Joel said, for sure, he's a playmaker and he wants to be a playmaker. He wants to get everyone involved. But at times, you also need to just be aggressive and make guys on the other team guard him. Like tonight, we saw it. I was really excited when he made those two shots. He's starting to be comfortable. He's getting back to where he was right before the All-Star break, so he's got to keep on doing it. Joel has said this like a number of times throughout the years, like in different sort of ways. Right. I definitely think that like we probably talked about this too, but like, I think it means something to him that Simmons tries to score on offense, because, you know, the Sixers aren't a team that's going to just outshoot everybody. And things are a little harder on offense, so they really do need all they can get. you know, Joel in the past has talked about shooting more threes than he wants to, because with a player like Ben and with him, you know, you need threes to go up. So I do think that, you know, Joel understands, you know, the effect that saying that in the media could have. Ben is sort of an enigma where it feels like sometimes it's a choice that he's not looking at the rim or not going to the rim. I certainly agree with him that I think that Simmons needs to be aggressive. And, you know, I just don't really care if it ends up being like a, whatever, 6-for-15 shooting night. Like, I'm okay with that because it means that we're getting looks at the rim, and like, and there are guys who are shooting more, especially Ben, who's so talented. So yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about Ben, but I think that some increased aggression from him would be great on offense, because I think it does a lot more than just like affect his point total. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that for a guy who, and like you said, you know, it would be great if Ben was more versatile offensively, but for now, he's not playing a ton off the ball. And I don't think we'll be in a situation really where he's going to have to play a ton of minutes off the ball. But I think it does, you know, hurt his ability, obviously, like to play with certain guys like Jimmy. That was, you know, kind of an issue in the playoffs that Jimmy had the ball more. And so, but since we are in the situation where he has the ball in his hands, you would at least expect him to score with, you know, it's not like he's playing off the ball, which, you know, we talked about earlier. We would like him to, you know, get, you know, add more to his game in a fantasy world where maybe he takes a corner three or something
to be more
comfortable. The offense is going through him and he has the ball so much. And I know he wants to pass first, but they need points out of him. And you can't spend, you know, there are certain games where the Sixers, you know, don't look right. And a lot of times it's so frustrating that it feels like, you know, offensively they're, the ball is, you know, more than half of the time in the hands of a guy who doesn't really want to look to score. Like, you need to always be a threat to score the ball, even if it's just, you know, to help his passing, to, yeah, you know, make the defense have to come help when he drives. I'm looking at his numbers, and obviously, you know, Ben has struggled lately, but Ben struggled to start the year. I don't think he struggled this bad to start the year. Like, Ben was, had some pretty rough stretches, and like especially rough, like say, like, you know, two or three games in a row, but lately he has gone 9 straight games without scoring higher than 15 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the last game was that Warriors game on March 23rd where they were up huge and then blew it and then came back and won. Ben had 22 that game. Since then, he's had 9, 15, 11, 5, 14, 7, 12, 10, 13. Mm-hmm. I think if he's, I mean, he is going to have the ball a lot. And the Sixers need him to score. I mean, he's a talented player. So, I mean, I agree with Joel. I think he's right. I mean, that Ben should be looking to score because they need it from him, and he can do it. We've seen him do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and this, you know, I feel like the Ben's biggest fans will probably think that this overlooks what makes him so good. And it's not, you know, like, I think you and I would both either have him one or two in the defensive player of the year. He's a great playmaker. He's a good rebounder. Like, he does a lot that helps his team really. And during the regular season, if Joel's playing well, Ben can continue doing this, you know, scoring 13 points. Like, they can probably get away with that. As long as Tobias, you know, they can do that. In the playoffs, though, I think that, you know, a 1 week spell like this where he loses his aggression and all that kind of stuff can be really hard, because teams are going to really be scheming for Joel, and I think a lot of times make the other Sixers beat them. So Ben has to be one of those other guys. So we've seen how great he can be this year. So it's in there. I just really hope that, you know, another great stretch coincides when they need it most, which will be in the playoffs.
Well, and like we've talked about, though, you know, I think that Ben, more than other players, is easy to look at when he has a great stretch and be like, oh, he could do this all the time, right? And we've said no one looks at other players who get hot and have a couple 30-point games and think they could do this all the time. And I think the reason that people do it is, you know, Ben, when he's hot and when he's getting to the rim and finishing at the rim, it looks so easy. He's not hitting threes. You know, he's, you know, more athletic than most guys. And it looks like it's coming so easy to him. And so everyone says, you know, he could just do this. But the thing is, he's really never shown in his career that he can just do that all the time. You know, he's had a great career so far. I think, you know, he's basically been a top 30 player in the league every year, arguably not this year because he has struggled for such a, you know, sustained stretch here. But I think that, you know, he's probably, he is that player. He's also the player that's struggling a lot right now. And he's often a player in between. But I don't think for him that you can just write off the fact that, like, whatever is the cause, it's clearly not as simple as him just doing it. You know, like, it's not like he can snap his fingers and all of a sudden he's that player. I think I can't even put a finger on it. I even went back and I tried to compare some of his shots in the games where he was, you know, I watched, you know, clips from the Jazz game and I was comparing that to the Cavs game. And, you know, the Jazz game when he had 42, the Cavs game when he had 5. And he was still going strong. Like, there were two, like, you know, that when he was being real physical, when he was, you know, didn't really start the season playing super physically. And then, you know, I thought there was a play in the Jazz game where he just went through Favors.
Yeah.
Like went right through him on the drive. It was beautiful. And he finished. And then I watched him do the same thing in the Cavs game. I forget who it was against. I think it was, might've been Dean Wade. And he still went right through him. He just missed a layup. And it's like, as simple as it sounds, like, he should just make the layup, you know, he should just go take more looks. For some reason, he hasn't shown that he will do that consistently over his career. He's always had this, you know. He had the 23 game stretch last season, which is, to be fair, a huge stretch. He played great for a long time before he got hurt last season. Or I'm sorry, before COVID, he got hurt after COVID. Joel got hurt. But then he has also always had, not this bad, but, you know, times where he's less aggressive. And I think that's just the player he is.
Yeah, you know, you look at somebody like him and it really becomes like he is not as bad as he was for, you know, the most – he hasn't been especially bad the last, you know, couple of games. But the recent stretch where he was really bad, and he is not – as great as he was for that few weeks before the All-Star game, he really is somewhere in the middle there. The Sixers, as presently constructed, will need him to be closer to that good stretch than the bad stretch when it really matters. So I hope that they can do that. I'm sure that Doc and them are working on ways. And maybe the roster isn't perfect, of course, because the backup center isn't a stretch guy, because – you know, they're an offense centered around Joel Embiid, all this kind of stuff that I don't really, because for me, it's like, we're mad that Dwight can't shoot threes, but like, shouldn't we also direct our anger at the 24-year-old who hasn't changed his offense in any way? You know, of course, now we're in the middle of the season, and there's only so much you can do. So it's like, I get that fans are like, well, this is what it is, and they need to build the right roster. I just think that the blame should really fall on his side of the
better
too.
Player.
Right. Oh, exactly. On the better, more highly paid.
Who also positionally he's the positionally weird one, right? There's this player that people want that can, you know, Dwight does, gives you a lot. He defends okay when he's locked in, and he gives you some offense. He gets a lot of offensive rebounds, right? You want those things out of your center. You don't want just some dude who doesn't do anything but can stand around and shoot. You don't want that. I mean, and you're not going to get a guy on the minimum or even under $10 million who wants to come off the bench, who can, you know, still rebound, who can still defend bigs and be agile defensively and shoot the three. That player is not, no one has that as their backup center. So Ben has to be able to figure, and I think him and Dwight are honestly not the end of the world. I think people kind of overreact. I think they're mostly fine together, but in the ways they're not, I don't blame Dwight for that. You know, they definitely have their struggles. They're not a perfect fit, but I blame Ben for that. I put that more on Ben.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, we've seen it all with the same roster. We've seen Ben have this great stretch with this current roster. So really just, you know, Tony Bradley isn't here anymore, but I don't think Tony Bradley was the reason that Ben was going off. No. So yeah, I'd love to see more out of him. I think that him and Joel, I do think, like each other at this point, and I feel like they,
yeah,
neither of them is trying to get the other out of here. I think that they both want to make it work, and I hope that Ben performs at that level, because he can be such an important player to them in the playoffs. Or you can see, like in the Toronto series, when they just had to sort of move him off ball and sort of ignore him. So I really hope that isn't the case, because they don't have the firepower to withstand that with this current roster.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Speaking of firepower, Sixers added the new oldest player on the team, Anthony Tolliver. He, I believe, has shot 38% from three for the last seven seasons. He is a basketball player. He hasn't played yet this year, and he signed on a 10-day with the Sixers. And he seems to be just – and oh, yeah, I wanted to read you. There's a Doc Rivers answer about – they asked Doc about signing Anthony Tolliver, and Doc – was just ready with the cold water for all the fans that were really excited about Tolliver. Doc said, "I don't know about minutes unless you want me to bench Tobias." Just quickly here. That's not who we want you to bench. He goes, "Unless you want me to bench Tobias or somebody like that, just joining the team hopefully soon. I don't even know the answer. Maybe in Dallas, and if not, probably right when we return home from them."
Tobias the last man in the rotation?
You know, he's a veteran. He can shoot the ball, been around the block, which I think this team needs. So I think he can help in that regard. Doc, there's a player in the rotation right now who can't play basketball. Can we try to throw – now, listen, when George Hill plays, which, I mean, who knows, but when George Hill plays – I don't think
we're going to take minutes away from Tobias.
You're going to have to bench Tobias. I don't think we need a backup for off the bench. Like, I think that between Furkan and Matisse and everybody else, like how many power forwards are really posting everyone up? It's like much more often it's a 3/4 than a 4/5 at this point.
Yeah, that position doesn't need to even exist in the playoffs. That spot.
No, and it won't. I really don't think it will. But, you know, to me, it seems like a totally fine flyer to see if he can make a couple threes in the Mike Scott minutes. But Doc doesn't necessarily seem exactly.
I love that it's off the table.
It's he's like, "I don't know about minutes. I got Tobias. He's our power forward." It's like, does he play 48 minutes or no? Because I don't really understand. You know, Doc's just one of those coaches. You have your guys, you know, and you like yeah. Doc had Mike Scott in LA, and I think he likes Mike, and I don't know, but Scott can't play anymore. Listen, Anthony Tolliver probably can't play anymore either, and I think neither of them will play in playoffs. But I would be more than happy to just throw him Scott's like 8 to 10 minutes to see what he has. Dan, anything on Anthony Tolliver?
Yes.
Yeah, what do you think?
I mean, I think he's probably not gonna do much. I trust Doc that he's not gonna get a lot of minutes. I'm not super concerned. I know a lot of people were excited just because, you know, there were Sixers Twitter people who wanted Anthony Tolliver for a while. He's also, I think, 35 now. So I don't think he's giving you a ton. He's like, you know, been a fine shooter for his career, 37%, which is around league average, but I don't think that he's really going to be any kind of difference maker. I mean, we all agree those minutes aren't even going to exist in the playoffs. And for a while they exist, it sounds like he won't even be playing in them. So, you know, if he's a good veteran pickup, you know, I feel like we get these guys and they do, you know, the locker room has been great this year. And if he can contribute to that, that would be awesome. You know, I love, you know, Dwight keeping Ben after for them to work on jump shots Green getting everybody in the, you know, in the gym after a game to lift or something like that. Like, I think that, you know, if he can, you know, bring, you know, I guess like some kind of, you know, strong work ethic or locker room presence and, you know, people love vets in the NBA, then sure, that's fine. I just don't think on the court wise, he's going to really matter much.
The other, I guess, person that I'm sure we would like to be in the conversation for backup 4 minutes during the regular season is friend of the podcast, Paul Reed. B-ball Paul would, I think, you know, give them a lot of sort of athleticism and randomness on the court. We love randomness. That's the whole podcast.
Him and Dwight would be so fun together.
It'd be hilarious. I think it's very clear that Doc just doesn't trust Paul just yet. And I, you know, I get it. But and I also don't think that Doc thinks that Mike Scott has been as awful as he actually has been. You know,
scares me.
The only thing is just that Mike will shoot, you know, he'll take threes, which I guess there's some inherent value in that.
I'll put you out there, you tell you, Steve, shoot the ball, you could do it.
I'll try it, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
So yeah, welcome to the team, Anthony Tolliver. He's on a 10-day, we'll see. Oh, and also that other guy's gone with the red hair.
Oh. Yeah, Ignis Bradzikas.
Yeah, gone. Sorry, he didn't even make it into a most likely game, which really feels like where his destiny would have been.
He played one game though, which means, like, you know, have you ever seen like those like Sporkle quizzes where you have to like, you know, he's going to be a horrible one in a couple years.
Oh,
he was barely here.
Nobody's going to remember him, right?
No, there's no way.
He was a throw-in in a trade. He was barely here, but he played in one game. He's going to be impossible.
Yeah.
All right. So the last thing, this is going to be a shorter pod. We have done, this will be our third of the week, but this will be out on Monday, whatever. You seem to have located some sort of game that we can play here before we talk about our preview and predictions for the upcoming week of games. So what do you got?
All right, here we go. I Googled Sixers trivia.
Okay.
This is from usefultrivia.com. So let's hope it's useful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Here you go. Question one. What were the Philadelphia 76ers originally called? The Patriots, the Founders, the Nationals, or the Senators?
That would be the Nationals.
This is a real tough one. Yes, that would be the Nationals.
Love it.
Syracuse Nationals. All right. Question two. Steve is one for one. Which player holds the single season franchise record for points? Charles Barkley, Julius Erving, Allen Iverson, or Wilt Chamberlain?
That would be Wilt Chamberlain.
Yes.
Let's go. All right.
Yes. Wilt once averaged 50 in a season. That would be leading any franchise.
Yes.
How many times did Dolph Schayes lead the Nationals/76ers to the playoffs? So we just went from 0 to 100.
Yeah, we really did.
What are your options? 15, 10, never, or 5?
Ooh. The fact that they included never makes me think it's never. But I'm going to say 10.
The answer is 15.
Wow. Damn.
I wouldn't have guessed that. Here we go. Kyrie's out Monday against the Timberwolves due to personal reasons. Just got that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A 12-time NBA All-Star, Dolph Shays played his entire career with the Nationals/76ers from 1948 to 1964. In his 16-year career, he led his team into the playoffs 15 times. 15 out of 16 seasons. That's pretty good. Those are like LeBron numbers, really.
Yeah. So. Love it. Thank you, Dolph.
Good job, Dolph. who was the first 76er to have his jersey number retired? Dolph Shays, Allen Iverson, Julius Erving, or Hal Greer?
Dolph Shays.
Sorry, it was Hal Greer.
Damn it. This historical Sixers stuff.
Yeah. We're too young for this. All right. That was number four. So you're 2 for 4.
Right.
All right. Which 76er was nicknamed the Kangaroo Kid? Bobby Jones, Billy Cunningham, Larry Costello, or Joel Embiid?
Bobby Jones.
It was Billy Cunningham.
Fuck. I knew it was somebody white. Damn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I knew it was one of those guys as well. All right. Damn. Here we go. What kind of animal is the 76ers mascot? How are these are not the same level of difficulty throughout.
For real.
Horse, dog, eagle, or cat?
It's a dog. It's Franklin.
It is Franklin the Blue Dog. All right.
Yeah.
Which 76er? Oh, sorry. So wait. So you're 3 for 6. Which 76er is the only NBA player to retire with more career block shots than points scored? Boban Marjanovic, Swede Hellbrook, Sean Bradley, or Manute Bol?
Well, it's not Boban because he's not retired.
Right.
I don't know who Swede Hellbrook is. I'm going to say Manute Bol.
It is Manute.
All right.
There you go. So you're 4 for 7. Here's number 8. Which 76er helped legitimize the dunk as an acceptable tactic? Billy Cunningham, Julius Erving, Wilt Chamberlain, or Red Kerr?
It has to be Wilt, right?
Apparently it's Julius Erving. That seems wrong. Before Dr. J, dunking was a practice most commonly used by the big men to show their brutal strength, which was seen as style over substance, even unsportsmanlike by many purists of the game.
Well, love a purist.
That sounds like the worst person on earth.
Right.
However,
it's a 100% shot. Just dunk it in.
Yeah. What? That's dumb as shit. All right. You're 4 for 8. A purist of anything, just like the baseball people
who
mad if you flip your bat. Like,
get out.
Yeah.
Get out. Not doing it anymore. I agree.
You're so annoying. Let's have fun these days. All right. 4 for 8. Here's number 9. Which player holds the 76ers single season record for blocks? Sean Bradley, Julius Erving, Wilt Chamberlain, or Manute Bol? And I will, as kind of a hint, for a lot of Wilt's career, they didn't track blocks.
Uh-huh.
So
no, I've already said it for like 4 of these. I can't say Wilt.
Yeah. I'll just eliminate that one because would be if they counted them.
I'll say Manute Bol.
It is Sean Bradley. He had 274.
And poor Sean Bradley, he was just in a terrible accident. So I hope he's all right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope he's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you are 4 for 9.
Right.
Last one, I think. Oh, no. There's a second page. Well, we can stop whenever. here's number 10. How many postseason games did the 76ers, I know this one, did the 76ers lose during their 1982-83 championship season?
Is it multiple choice?
Oh, sorry. 1, 2, 3, or 4. Sorry, I just knew the answer, so I didn't.
Damn.
I forgot to say them.
All right. You know the answer to this. I really don't. I'll say 1.
It is 1.
Good job. All right. 5 for 10.
Yes. 5 for 10. It looks like there's 20, but I feel like it's really up to you. You want to do another 10 or you want to stop?
Send me the thing. I want to give them to you.
All right, wait, what do I do? Oh, wait, no, I mean, so you can, I'll send you the link. Yeah.
Yeah. Text me the link and I'm going to do them for you. I can take out some of this dead air if there's a second here.
Yeah. I feel like this is good.
This is what people want.
This is definitely what people want.
All right, here we go. So now I'm going to give you between 10 and 20. Is that right?
Between 10 and 11 and 20. Yeah.
11 and 20. All right. Let's see. Here we go. 11. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Which player was selected with the first overall pick of the NBA draft? It just says the first overall pick. Oh, I guess this means any first overall pick.
Yeah.
Allen Iverson, Charles Barkley, Julius Erving, Moses Malone.
It was Allen Iverson.
Whoa. Did you hear that?
What?
Did that come through to you? They did like a ding, ding, ding.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we'll see if that'll end up on the podcast. We'll see. Which 76er has the highest single season free throw percentage? Was it Kyle Korver, Mike Gminski, Dolph Schayes, friend of the podcast, or JJ Redick?
I'm going to go with Korver.
Incorrect. The answer, how do I see the answer?
Click, if you click it, it eventually will tell you if you click the right one.
Oh, Mike Gminski, 6 foot.
I don't know him.
Mike Gminski, Gminski, was an exceptional free throw shooter, especially compared to other big men. He shot 93.8% 1 year. Which 76er
really good.
Holds the single season franchise record for steals? Steve Mix, Mo Cheeks, Allen Iverson, or George McGinnis?
I think it's Mo Cheeks.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Allen Iverson led the league in steals for three consecutive years, 2001, 2002, 2003. And in 02, 03, he had 225 steals.
That's a lot of steals.
Number 14. Hang on. Let's see here.
I'm 1 for 3.
Right. 1 for 3. Which player is the 76ers' career leader in blocks? Julius Erving, Samuel Dalembert, Manute Bol, or Wilt Chamberlain?
I guess I'll go with Manute. Love the Sam Dalembert, though.
No Manute. Oh, the answer is not Manute. It's not Sam Dalembert. Dr. J, he finished with 1,293 block shots, a team record. I thought Sammy D, because he had a long Sixers tenure, I thought maybe he snuck in there. All right, you are 1 for 4.
That's, wow. I need more like, what animal is Franklin? That's the one I
yeah,
want.
Yeah, I know. I really got off easy with that one. who was the shortest 76er? Greg Grant, Swede Halbrook, Isaiah Cannon, Ish Smith.
I feel like it's not Cannon or Smith. They're not that short.
Right.
Who were the first two?
Greg Grant and Swede Halbrook.
All right. I don't know either, but I'm going to pick one of them. I'm going to go with Swede Halbrook because his name was in there earlier.
Incorrect.
Is it Greg Grant?
It's Greg Grant. I will say I sort of knew this one because in Dave Reuter's book, he talks about Greg Grant. And Grant was 5'7". He spent 9 years in the NBA playing for 6 different teams. Good for him.
Well, you have no excuse then, Steve.
Yeah, I know,
right? Isn't that your height?
No, it's not. I'm a solid 5'9", 5'10". No way.
Oh, I don't know why I thought you told me. You told me multiple times. I always forget.
I tell you every morning. I like to remind you.
I know.
Who was the first Philadelphia 76er to win the Sixth Man of the Year award? Mark Iavaroni, Ron Anderson, Aaron McKee, Bobby Jones.
Well, Bobby Jones is old, so I'll guess Bobby Jones, but I don't know if he was a sixth man. Maybe he was early on.
So far you're 1 for 5. I ended 5 for 10. So you're going to need a run here. So you guess Bobby Jones?
Sure. Oh, this isn't
That's
going
correct.
Well. Oh, you let's go.
1982-83, power forward Bobby Jones became the first ever recipient of the Sixth Man of the Year award. Coming off the bench. All right. You are 2, 4, 6, right?
Yeah.
Which 76er holds the franchise record for most points scored in a single game? Wilt Chamberlain, Allen Iverson, Julius Erving, Charles Barkley.
I'm going to go with Wilt.
That's correct. So on December 16th, 1967, Wilt Chamberlain scored 68 points in a 143-123 victory over the Chicago Bulls. You are 3 for 7.
That's pretty good.
All right. We have three questions.
That's almost 50%.
Which player holds the franchise record for most three-pointers in a season? Kyle Korver, Dana Barros, J.J. Redick, Robert Covington.
I'm going to go with Redick.
Okay. So when I was thinking about this, I thought either Redick or Covington, because we shoot so many more threes now than we used to. Redick is correct. Yes. In 2018-19, J.J. Redick set a franchise record for the most three-pointers in a season with 240. Kyle Korver in 04 hit 226.
Okay. Wow. In 04.
Yeah. You are 4 for 8. Which 76er holds the single season franchise record for assists? Wilt Chamberlain, Mo Cheeks, Ben Simmons, Drew Holiday.
I'm going to go Mo Cheeks.
That's a tough one. Mo Cheeks. Correct.
Wow.
You're 5 for 9. What a comeback.
I got my last 5 in a row.
Yeah, during the 85-86 season, Mo Cheeks established a franchise record with 753 assists. All right, this is it. This is the question. Either you beat me or we tie.
Yes.
Which player won 3 consecutive league MVP awards? Wilt Chamberlain, Allen Iverson, Julius Erving, Moses Malone.
Oh, wow. I know Moses won. I believe Moses won one with the Sixers. No, I don't know if I can't remember. That was obviously I was not alive. I'm gonna. I feel like there hasn't been a. No, it could have been Moses. I don't. I'm gonna go Will. I don't know. I don't think he. That's my guess. That's my guess.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Correct. You win.
Wow.
Wilt Chamberlain earned 4 regular season most valuable player awards, including 3 consecutive years between 66 and 68. Wow. Well done. This was a good game. On to our last thing. Now, normally this is Emily's pride and joy, the standings of us predicting the games each week. We have to do you have the text where Emily sent us her picks?
I have them, yeah.
Okay. So on the season right now, just so you know, last week Emily and I both predicted that the Sixers would go 3-0. The Sixers instead went 2-1. So we went 2-1 because the Sixers lost to the Pelicans. Dan predicted each game correctly, pulling him into an exact tie with Emily in the standings. They are both 36 and 21. And I am percentage points behind them at 31 and 26. This week, the Sixers have a tough week. This starts a tough stretch for them. They play at Dallas, and then they play home against Brooklyn and the Clippers. Dan, give me Emily's picks, and then we'll get yours.
All right. Here it is. So Emily predicted that we will win at Dallas, win at home against Brooklyn, and lose at home to the Clippers. Win-win loss. 2-1.
Got it. 2-1. And you?
All right. Emily's going to be mad at me for this one. You ready? 3-0.
You're playing some defense now.
I think that we're going to have a good run here. I feel good about it. I'm going 3-0.
So tell me, maybe we'll we're not sure when we're going to locker room, but before the Brooklyn game might be a good time. You think that the Sixers will get this win against the Nets without Harden and at home? Would those be like the main reasons that you have them winning that game?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Harden's playing. The Nets just had a bad loss. It's still, I mean, I think that for the most part, you know, they scare me more as a playoff team than anything. I think you know, it could be a good game. If Harden doesn't play, I feel good about it, especially. Yeah. I think he's their most important player, but I would like to see it, so I'm gonna pick it. You know, I really, it's a game that I'm gonna really want them to win, so might as well have them win it.
Yeah, I've got them 3-0 as well. I think that against Dallas, that should be a good game. You know, I forget who was saying it during the last Dallas game, but they were saying like the Sixers are really well set up when they're playing a team that has just like one perimeter scorer who everything goes through, because Simmons is such a good defender. And when they try to run pick and roll, Embiid is right there. And I feel like that's just a really good situation. And they did great on Luka when they played earlier in the year. Luka had...
Yeah, Ben shut him down.
Ben shut him down really well. Luka had 7 turnovers in that game. He only took 13 shots. I think that I'm looking forward to seeing that game. It'll be on the road and it should be a good one. Each of the next 7 games are all on national TV. So this is a big slate. I hope that that the Sixers do well. Do you have anything else, buddy?
I don't have anything else. I'm looking forward to this stretch. It'll be hopefully a really fun one.
Yeah. Always good to see you. Thank you guys all for listening. We'll be back with another episode on Locker Room in the middle of this week. We'll let you know when that is. And we'll be with a married woman, Emily Anderson. Can't wait. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you later this week. See ya.
See ya.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.